Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Cover this up. We're going to have... Sorry, we're going to have lots of fun today. So I'm just excited. Whenever I have an opportunity to speak to adults, it's like, man, this is what looking at adults feels like. Because most of the time when I'm speaking, you know, it's I'm used to, hey, Pastor Trevor, do you want to hear about my cat? In a minute. Hey, or you're here like, hey, Pastor Trevor, you want to talk about the time I went to Walmart yesterday? It was pretty cool. We bought stuff. I did too. I don't like spending money. So it's cool just to have opportunity to speak to you guys. It's always a true blessing just to be able to just fulfill the calling that God has in my life. I just love when it comes to sharing God's love and word. I don't know. It's just pretty cool to me that I have the opportunity to just to talk to you guys and share what I feel like God has laid on my heart. And like I said, we're going to have a lot of fun today, and I'm going to do so by opening up with this kind of what I call like an icebreaker to you guys. So I have a question, just kind of lighten the mood here. Why did Han Solo not like his steak? Because it was too chewy. Okay, so all right, I have one more for you guys. This is even better. So here's another one. Why are chickens so funny? Because. So, you know, even though I'm speaking to adults, I like being a kid. I'm a kid. Oh, I got thumbs down in the back. Okay, that's how I know my jokes were good dad jokes, when I get thumbs down from the mothers in the back. So it's okay. My wife isn't here to prevent that from happening, so if y'all can blame her for not being here. So like I said, I just want to thank Pastor for encouraging me to just push forward in my licensing and just to bring it back to Miss Amy. I don't know if you got a look at my notes today, but basically everything you said right before we transitioned to me was pretty much what I was going to be talking about today. So Me and you, God knows what was going on, but just, y'all don't know how awesome our head pastors are, both of them. Just their love and their encouragement that pushes past. Yeah, give them a hand. Yeah, come on. It's the leaders of the house here. Pastor Aaron really pushed me to get my pastoral license, to, I guess, give you guys a little bit of a background, but like into my... Yeah, I guess a little bit into my life and just the journey that I, you know, that God brought me on to getting my license. There was way back in 2013, I enrolled at Southwestern Assemblies of God University, which is Assemblies of God College in Waxahachie, Texas. And during that time, I felt like I was going to the school that God wanted me to, and I knew I was going to be a pastor. At that time, I thought I was going to be a youth pastor, but here I am as a kids pastor, and that's a whole other story. But just trying to fulfill, again, the calling that I felt like God had on my life. But I had a porn addiction, and I had an identity problem. I didn't really know who I was or where I was going, even though I felt like I knew where I was going. And then fast forward to 2023 or 2022, Pastor Aaron just really encouraged me in the Lord, and because I, you know, even though which I can praise is that I'm 4 years coming up clean of watching anything, so porn free. So that, you know, just praise the Lord on that. But and the reason why I want to be honest with you and just transparent with that is just the encouragement that I felt like God gave me a couple of years ago. Before I transitioned here, and I, you know, before I was at, even at the church I was before God called me out to you guys, there was a time that I a transition from a church to another, and I was just really down on myself, still struggling, and I was like, okay, God, what in the world am I doing? You know, is this a, God, are you trying to call me out of ministry? Did I miss it? Did, you know, am I forcing myself into ministry? All these questions. And one day at camp, as I was helping a church go to camp and just with their students, there was a moment at that camp that that instead of that, I felt like God was calling me to go pray over students. God said, hey, wait a minute, I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, ooh, I don't know what this is. Okay, cool. And God just started ministering to me, and he said, Trevor, you know, the only person that calls yourself not called is you. And I didn't call you to, like, you didn't step into ministry because it was just something that you felt like you wanted to do. You are following my calling. And so, yeah, and so getting this little license that I have in my wallet now, which is so cool, can I just, bam, pastor, you know, any piece of machinery or whatever, it's, you know, it's, I could slide a police officer this when I'm just kidding, when I'm getting pulled, I'm just kidding, yeah, license, I'm licensed for everything now, this little thing that I have in my, you know, I don't even want to take my wallet out of my pocket now, just the promise that God brought to me full circle. And having faith again, which is what I want to talk to you guys today. Like, I know the last time that that I talked to you, we talked about trying again and going out and trying to do the things that maybe we were too scared to do. But I feel like what God wanted me to bring to you guys today was just talking about faith, because it's something as a Christian we hear all the time in our songs. We read it in Scripture a little bit, and, you know, we hear it all the time here, to have faith. But I feel like God just wanted to remind you a little bit, even through my story, that sometimes, you know, sometimes the things that stop us and what God has called us to do is our bad choices, because we, as human beings, can't, you know, choose not to see all that, you know, God has for us. But even through then, God calls us to have faith, right? Even the faith of a mustard seed, something so small can move mountains, right? Something so small. So, you know, why don't we see it now in our congregations and in our own lives? We feel so bogged down and tired with all the things that we have on our plates. Not because the enemy's attacking us, but because we're living our lives. You know, I mean, you know, as a pastor, as a husband, as a you know, just as a normal human being that works, life can be overwhelming, and it's even hard sometimes to spend time with God, let alone have time for my family and my job and all these other things. And so this phrase that we see here, or this word faith, okay, when we look at that, what does that mean? What is God trying to say to us? And I want to encourage you and challenge you today that, just like me, though we feel like maybe the things in our lives that God has promised us are done and not for us anymore, that's not true. That God has something so much more for you than what you can even think. And that even though the outcome of what I see in front of me may not be what I had imagined it, but God is still working in the background saying, I got you. You just have to believe. Okay, so let's just dive in with some scripture. So for those of you that have your Bible, I'm only going to read two passages of scripture. I'm going to throw around some scripture, but the only real scripture that I'm going to have on screen are these two sets of scripture. So if you have your Bibles, you can put, if you have a holding place, you're holding place in these two places. So Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. That's going to be our longest passages of Scripture. And then Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. So those are the Scriptures that we're going to be looking through. But first, we're going to go through Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 36. So I don't know what version of Scripture you have, but I'm going to be reading in the NIV for those of you. So what I read and what you read, it might be a little different. But if you have any issues, you can follow with me on the screen behind me. So let's dive into Scripture together. think Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. So immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed him, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. So just remember that. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. So it's out there. So buffeted by the waves, a far distance from land, and then buffeted by the waves because the wind was against him. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is not I. Do not be afraid." Something that Jesus always liked to say. Verse 28 now. So, "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. So, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." So immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" So verse 32 now. And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. This man didn't have to say nothing. He just got into the boat and it chilled out. So then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So we're in verse 34 now. When they had crossed over, landed at Gennesaret. I said that very country, so just look up the Greek or Hebrew name of that later. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and who touched it were healed. So if you will, just let's just go to the Father in prayer and just let's just prepare for what God has in store for us. God, we just want to thank you again for allowing us to come into an air conditioning building. God, we forget as Americans a lot of times just how crazy and how wonderful and a blessing just a place like this is. God, I pray today that we would open our eyes and have faith. And God, I just pray that everybody in here would begin to see God, not with our natural eyes, but God, with your eyes. God, there are so many hurting people and people in need all around us. And God, you prepare each day for us to do something for you, because that's how much you love us. You want us to be a part of your plan. But God, sometimes we're too busy to see all that you have planned. So God, I just pray today that we would lift our eyes to you and that we would have, again, trust in you. And like we've never had before, because God, we desperately need it. God, we just ask this in your name. Amen. So what's cool about Matthew chapter 14 is that we see that, so this is technically the second time that we see the disciples in a storm, right? The first time is Matthew chapter 8. When they're on a boat and Jesus is asleep, when everybody's getting ready to drown and think they're dying, and Jesus is just chilling, straight chilling, I don't know about y'all, but I like to read as if I was in the situation just like that, and like a lot of times, like even in this situation, in Matthew chapter 14, you know, we look at the disciples, how crazy are you? That's Jesus, duh. Well, we have the, you know, the after knowledge of everything. If we were the disciples, we'd be freaking out too. Some dude walking on water, what in the world? Get me out of here. You know, so, but this is the second time where they're caught. Poor disciples, whenever they get in a boat on water, they just about to die. So, like, Jesus is putting them in these crazy situations. And, you know, but anyway, so we look at faith from this perspective. What's crazy to think here and is that Jesus sent the disciples away before he sent away the crowd. Like, y'all go ahead and y'all get ready for where we're going to go next, which, you know, I guess the disciples who had been with him at at every single junction at this point had to be like, okay, I don't understand. You know, we could help you in this, but okay, we'll go. So they were just faithful, and they just left. So sometimes we don't understand exactly what God is doing, but just like he understood what he was sending them into, he also understood, right, that he was going to take care of the situation as well. So just faith in that. But before I dive in deeper to that, I just kind of wanted to share with you a Webster's, a dictionary.com definition of what faith is, right? So if you can't throw that on the screen. So faith is the confidence or trust in a person or thing, right? And then it is also, it is the belief that isn't based on proof, right? So for instance, when you can base faith off of your trust in to turn the light on or turn the water on, your water faucet on at home, right? Without proof of it being like holding water, it's weird to us right now, even here. If I turn the lights on and they don't come on, that's weird to me because that's my faith in it. I don't even have to think. I turn the light switch on and it turns on, right? So that's what it's kind of describing to you here. It's faith again is confidence or trust in a person or thing, or belief that isn't based on proof. So when I go to turn on my water faucet at home or turn my shower on, it's absolutely weird and frustrating to me when it turns on because I do not expect it, the water to not come out or the light to not come on, right? I pay the bill. There better be some water and light. You know what I'm saying? Miss Amy, I don't know if you could hook us up with, you could hook us up with light at least. It's Alabama Power. But right, it's just weird to me when these things don't happen. And from the perspective of faith, because when we think about faith, we think about religion, right? Our belief system. So this is the kind of faith that God wants us to have. That before God shows me any proof or, hey, this is going to work out, okay, God, you've been faithful before. Hey, I've turned my water faucet on before. Water's come out, so I'm going to turn it on. Water's going to come out. And the same kind of thought process God wants me to have with him. It's, God, you've worked it out with me before. I don't have any reason to believe why it won't work out again. Okay, I'm going to take the next step. So that's the kind of thought process we have here. But let's dive into more scripture to see what the scripture has to say, right? Because it doesn't matter what Webster's Dictionary says. It matters what God's Word says. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Again, I'm going to be reading from the NIV, and it says this. So, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So, I have confidence. I have, whatever I have confidence in, that but before I even see it, before I even have proof that, okay, it's going to happen, verse 2, this is what the ancients were commanded for. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. He said it, it happened. So that what is seen was not made by what was visible. So what do we get by this concept is that when God says something, when God tells me something's going to happen, when God says like, hey, one day you're going to get married and have a kid, that God didn't just throw that at me to disappoint me when I mess up or throw that at me, years before it happened just to dangle it in front of my face to go, aha, this is what you could have if you did right. No, God obviously created time, is outside of time. So he's at the this is what when we say that God is at the beginning and the end, right? So we are held by what is called time. We're in this specific time frame. We were born in the 2000s, whenever you were born, in that specific time that you were meant to be born, right? But anyway, so I'm going on a rabbit hole here. But anyway, so God is the beginning and the end, so he's outside of time. So he knows 20 years from now what my life is going to look like before I even get there. And even, when verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made by what was visible. So when we think about have faith, when God tells me to do that or don't be afraid or something like that, when God, let me just put it to you this way. When God says something, you can take it to the bank. Cash it. It's going to happen. Whether it happens now or 20 years from now, it's going to happen. So, and again, we see that, we know that, and we look at it, but sometimes the way we act, the way we think, the way we process these things, we do not act sometimes like this is true. We can sit here, we can know about it, right? This is the information age, right? So, out of all the generations of people, right? We've done different studies and all these kind of things. This generation, this group, is the most depressed than ever before, the most suicidal than ever before, because they feel more alone than ever before, which is so weird. We're all so connected, Facebook, all these things, right? But so what am I doing to bring you to this point? So, like we can have the knowledge, we can see it in front of us, we can go research it, but until it affects the way I think, my habits, then I really don't truly believe it, right? You can know what somebody truly believes by the way they act. They don't have to say anything to you because it's just simply what they do and who they are, right? So, I mean, like for instance, if I told you I was 7 foot tall and an NBA player, how many of you guys would believe that? Yes. Speaking into existence. Yes. Amen. Lord, stretch me. Make me more athletic. But it's just not true. I can say anything I want, right? I can say anything I want. Just like this me up here. This is, you know, it's a spiritual check for me too. I can have, you know, this conversation with you all day. But until I go home and I treat my wife right, I treat my kid right, I go home and I do my job right, not because I'm getting a paycheck, but because I'm representing somebody bigger than me, then it's all just a big old show, right? It's all just a big old show. And that's what, you know, people are so frustrated with nowadays, right? Is that Christians, we come in and we say all these things and we're against this, we're against this, we're against that, but then we go to live our own lives and what happens? We don't have faith. So, but anyway, so let me put it to you this way from a quote that I found from Dr. Martin Luther King. So bring it into a little bit different perspective as well. So again, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. puts faith this way. So the God whom we worship is not a weak and incompetent God. He is able to beat back gigantic waves of opposition and to bring low prodigious mountains of evil. The ringing testimony of the Christian faith is that God is able. From my ancestors and their ancestors and their ancestors, God has always existed, and it's always been and always will be, and always has taken care of them, and he's going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of Ezra, and he's going to take care of Ezra's kids if life keeps going on that way. And so I don't have to think about it. The fact that my son is here, guys, God is faithful. In 2013, when I was a little porn addict behind everybody's back, lying to everybody, thinking, hey, Mr. Christian guy here while I go to Christian school, ooh, look at me. No, I had a secret sin that nobody knew about until God convicted me at a chapel night going somewhere, going, what are you doing? You're not fooling nobody. Hello? Is this mic on? So, hello? The fact that my son is here, guys, is a promise that God made to me. My wife is a promise that God made to me. I can have faith. I can take it to the bank because of how good God is to me. Oh gosh, I'm gonna cry. All right. We're gonna have a good time. So I got like 30 minutes. I promise I'm not gonna be that long. I just have, you know, 20 other pages of notes. Just kidding. And everybody, whoo. So faith is one of the most central parts of our relationship with God. No matter who we are, no matter what our walk in life is, there will always be trying times. Always be trying times. So what is faith? Faith is not merely holding to certain teachings, such as God exists, but rather it is a strong conviction that the world around us is a part of a greater plan, God's plan. Faith means that although at times the world looks chaotic and uncontrolled, we feel deep down that this chaotic world is not where we truly live. Rather, our existences are guided by God's strength and power. So faith is a strong conviction that the world around us is a part of God's plan. It's a part of God's plan. And, you know, and again, this is easy to say from my pulpit as I don't have cancer, as, you know, Ezra's here, you know, he wasn't a stillborn, which happens, which is crazy. Or insert anything that you're struggling with, right? Family member has passed away, and again, it's easy for us to say in this situation, and you know, we don't experience different levels of different people's pain. So when I go to tell you this, you know, because I've experienced my own pain and my own loss, but I don't know what exactly you're going through or have been through. But when God tells me to have faith, He knows the storms that I'm experiencing. Been through, like Matthew chapter 8, to bring it back to that scripture, so they go through that and they almost die, and then Matthew chapter 14, they're in a northern storm. Oh, goodness, here we go again. So a lot of times we can feel like that, right? Life can feel like that. You get punched in the face, and you get punched in the gut. So it's just one thing after another. But when God tells me to have faith, to believe in Him and trust Him, right? It's just like my son when he grows older. There's going to be times where we get angry with one another. There's going to be times where he doesn't understand when I tell him no, that it's not because I'm a mean old person, but it's because it's good for him, right? So, I mean, you could be 1 to 100. There's still a kid deep inside of you, still dealing with the issues that you dealt with from past years, right? So God wants us to have a childlike faith in Him again, even if the faith that we had as a kid and the things that we believed in was ripped from us because of the decisions of adults, right? So anyway, I'm going completely off topic here, but God wants us to have faith and believe in Him, not because what I see is what I see, but because my eyes are fixed on Him. And that's where the issue lies, is that when we put our trust more in our ability or even our malice to get back at the person we're mad at, we take our eyes off of our Creator. And we lose what Scripture says to cast our burdens on the Lord, for He cares for us. We were never meant to carry all this weight around that we carry around every single day, because God made us to have a relationship with Him. And sometimes it's the bad things that happen to us because life happens, but also sometimes we make poor choices. But God understands that. So as we continue here, I want to kind of point out some interesting points in the Scripture that kind of just spoke to me as I was reading, or as God spoke to me as I was reading Matthew chapter 14. So one of these interesting points is, why in the world did Jesus tell the disciples to go on without Him? We kind of get a glimpse of it, right, to see that later He goes up on a mountain to pray by Himself. Sometimes in order to have our faith restored, in order for us to have to just believe in anything again, sometimes we need to go by ourselves and have some alone time with God. So, and we hear this all the time from the pulpit, you know, if Jesus Himself, who was God incarnate, gave us this example, so He's basically having a conversation with Himself here, to find a solitary place to pray, well, I don't think you have to think really hard about that. We need to, whether, and again, the location does not matter. Your car, your house, wherever, parking lot, it doesn't matter. God just wants to have a conversation with you. And not just you and 20 other people, or you and one other person, just you. Just you. But, and again, it's so interesting that Jesus sent them away. And because, you know, and again, for the disciples and their standpoint, it's like, I don't fully understand why you're sending us away from your presence. Why would God send us, why would Jesus send us away from his presence? Because sometimes God knows there's a storm ahead and that he's about to do something so radical in these disciples' lives. So let me help you understand this point. So it's, if we know that Jesus is intentional, right? He's so intentional that he went to a certain time, to a certain part of the day, to meet a woman at a well. And he didn't do that by just some random, he was just so happened to be at that well at that time and just showed up for that lady. No, he showed up for her, right? That's how intentional Jesus is. And that at that point, the other disciples weren't around him either, right? Because if they would have saw the Samaritan woman right away, what God was planning on doing would have been ruined because these Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. But anyway, so that's how intentional God is. So reading really deep into the scripture doesn't really point out this, but this is just me and my reading, so just take this with a grain of salt, is that maybe that Jesus is setting up the disciples. He know this storm's coming and know that it's about to be a challenge for them, just to kind of see what's going to happen, see what they're going to do. Because if Jesus could have just let them out in that storm, right? He could have just walked, you know, from scripture we can read that it's the Sea of Galilee. So it's a huge body of water. So he could have just went around, but he showed up next to them. But anyway, you know, sometimes God just is waiting to show us who he is. And we just have to have faith. So we see that again, like he sent them away. So, and like I pointed out before too, is that, so this is the second storm. And so what's, again, I keep saying it's interesting. I just love scripture and what it points out. So in this particular part of scripture, this is the first time where they acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ. In Matthew chapter 8, they just freaked out that he could calm the winds and the waves and go, whoa, that's cool. But it's not until this point of scripture where they say, okay, this right here is the Christ. So, and I'm going to point out that significance here as well. Because, so, what's so frustrating from the disciples' perspective is, okay, God send us away, we don't get it, but okay, we're going to follow you. I guess we're just going to meet up with you over there. We don't know what we're going to do, but fine, we're going to go over there. And then, okay, you get caught in a storm. So the crowds that Jesus dispersed was the feeding of the 5,000 crowd. So this is thousands of people that Jesus is sending away by himself. Thousands of people, right? So after doing all of that ministry, right? After doing all of that ministry, he sends them off. And so they don't have any time to rest. They're going from one place of ministry to the next. So from what we can deduce in scripture, right? So it says, And some scriptures you read that like on the third watch, right? So at this particular time that Jesus is walking on water, showing himself to his disciples, it's coming down. It's about 3 to 6 a.m. So what's significant about this time is that they were dealing with the elements for about 9 hours. 9 hours, and you know it's not like a boat that boats that we get on today with engines. So this is. Even if it's, my guess is it was, a fishing vessel, right? Matthew's fishing vessel. So, I mean, it's a boat, but it's still got sails and paddles. And so you've got all these 12 men trying to keep, you know, just trying to find some place. They're getting tossed back and forth. They're a considerable, you know, miles away from shore. So they're just trying to find land and land somewhere so that until the storm clears out. But the storm keeps them out at sea for 9 hours. So you can kind of understand that these men, like the disciples, were more than just a little tired. So when they see some random thing out in the water, it makes sense that, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. Because, you know, at this point, tired, you know, it doesn't say whether they were eating or drinking, and I would guess during that intense time, maybe some of their rations or whatever went overboard. So you just have no idea the physical, mental exhaustion that these disciples went through. So again, it makes sense why they would label Christ as a ghost and not, well, that's my Savior. Because at that point, they didn't expect Jesus, did they? They expected Jesus to show up on the other side, that he was just going to pop up and be like, oh, what's up, Jesus? What are we doing next? So again, they didn't expect Jesus, but Jesus was there and they noticed him. So so this is a lot of times with our faith as well, right? There's a lot of times we in our situations, even in our sickness and our pain, and we know God wants to heal it, but sometimes it's so surprising why Jesus would show up at all. Why would Jesus show up for me? You know, why would Jesus give me the wife and kid I have after all that I've done? Sometimes we choose not to have faith because we just don't expect God to show up in our lives for some reason. Even though from Scripture again and again and again, he points out how he wants to be a part of our lives, how he wants to be in it and through it. And he's not a genie. I rub him, he come, you know, I rub the lamp and he pops up and answers all my questions and all these kind of things. But it's, you know, there's a storm going on and I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I can't see land. Why would God show up in my situation? I'm going and doing his work. I'm going about doing my own thing. I got 10 minutes. So a lot of times it's hard to have faith because we just don't expect God to show up in our situation, do we? We don't, you know, I've got debt and yeah, I went to school to, you know, do ministry, but is God really going to help me pay off my debt? You know, our faith is more of kind of like a maybe. Maybe God will, maybe God won't. Maybe. And something that I want to point out to you guys that's going to be a shock to you, because if you've been in church as long as I've had, you've heard this story preached thousands of times. And we all hear it from the side of Peter's great faith. But I want to kind of flip your brain, flip up your belief system here. I believe Peter should have stayed on the boat. Because sometimes we act like Peter, right? Because the disciples, so Jesus points out himself here. Hey, it's me. Y'all chill out, it's me. Like, I don't know why y'all crying, it's me. So, and then Peter, if it's really you, tell me to come out. So again, this is me reading into Scripture. This isn't necessarily what Scripture is explaining. So again, take it with a grain of salt. It's just a different perspective, just the way that I read Scripture. So Peter had to have Jesus show him in his own special way that it was him. When he could have invited Jesus on the boat. And it wasn't until Jesus got on the boat, the cat didn't have to say anything. He just got on the boat, stuff chilled out. Right? So sometimes faith, we need to operate not like Peter. Right? Faith is a belief in something that I don't need proof for. So God wants to have so much trust with you that I don't need him to burn a bush, do anything special for me just to go. Like I know I'm going to have this argument with, you know, my son because, you know, what goes around comes around, right? I'm sorry, Mom. When take out the trash, do the dishes. Why? I'm already ready for it. I'm already ready. Like, okay, God, I know I'm going to get what I gave my mom. But so sometimes God just tells us to do stuff, and he doesn't want any lip back. Is this thing on? Sometimes God does stuff and tells us to go do things without, and he just go do it. Just go do it. So, and you know, it's just like Peter, which it took him great, don't get me wrong, it took him great courage. And yes, it you know, he did have a moment where Jesus had to say him, like, hey, Peter, you know, and I feel like that's, for me, the point where Jesus points out, oh, you of little faith. Because when I see that, it's like, dang, Jesus, chill. He's out on the water. There's a storm going on. He's drowning. And you're going to pick him up and tell him, you of little faith. You need to chill, Jesus. This is what you need to do. You need to chill out. Because I was Peter, I'd be like, dang, I'm drowning. That's what you're going to say to me? But it's, you know, the fact of, like, why did you have to come out here for me to prove who I am? So just, you know, just a little thought nugget for you. But we can relate with the disciples, right? It's easy to say to have faith. It's easy to put on a screen with a background you can't see. But a whole thing to live daily. It's a personal choice, like choosing, again, to turn my bedroom light on in my bedroom, right? Duh, if I want to see better, I turn on my light. If I want to live the life that God wants me to live, I need to turn my faith light on. However, a lot of times we choose to live our lives like the disciples, so focused on the elements and just trying to get to the next thing that we even forget that Jesus wants to get in our boat. And it's in that moment that when Jesus is just next to me, that my storm calms down. That I know I got to deal with, you know, and they still had to go in the boat wherever they had to go. So they still had to physically exert themselves to get where they were going next and then do ministry. So there, when Jesus comes in my boat and calms the elements, there's still a level of element in me walking out what he's called me to walk out. But I can do it with him by my side. I can do it with him by my side. A world seen through the eyes of faith is a world in which one of us, along with everything that happens to us, has a meaning as a part of a great plan. So that storm, though crazy, and we about died, Jesus, while you were up there on a mountain watching us die, had a plan for us to realize that, wow, you are the Son of God. That you can do whatever in the world you want to do. And I just want to be a part. Faith means that there is more to this world than what we see with our eyes. Moreover, faith is not just a mental agreement again, oh, well, I guess God exists. But faith will drive our values, our decisions, our actions that should align to our beliefs. So faith, again, means that there is more to the world than what I see, what I understand. Because if I could fit God in this brain up here, and I can understand all the nuances, God really wouldn't be worth worshiping at all. Because if, you know, it's like for instance, a potter making a flower pot, and then that flower pot telling the potter, I'm not a flower pot. I'm a cooking pan. You made me to cook things with. No, I made you to hold flowers. So I know that's a different, far out there expression, but right, when God made us for something and he has a specific plan and purpose for us, and it's not up to me to determine what that is. Like, all the time as a kid, I heard that God has a plan and a destiny for me and all these things. And I thought, okay, maybe I'll figure those things out. As I go do ministry, do this, and this. And no, the entire time that what I felt like God wanted to share with me is that the more relationship I have with Christ, the more my purpose gets revealed. So this the faith in that I don't. And again, let me put it to you this way. Activity does not always mean productivity. Activity does not mean productivity. Just because I'm doing things for God, physically doing things for God, doesn't mean that an impact is happening spiritually. Because if the impact doesn't happen inside of me here first, then it's just a dog and pony show. And God is faithful and He's going to do what He said He does, and His word's not going to go out void because that's His power, not mine, and it's always His power, not mine, but God wants us to be a part of what He's doing. Why? I don't know. He just does. And I'll take that. So, as I close with 2 minutes left, I promise you're going to eat today. I promise. This world needs us to walk out our faith and not just come to church. So I want to bring out my kiddie pool here. So sorry, when I see this, I just see my son now. So, and all the fun that he's gonna have, you know, when you know it's, because to a kid, this is a huge thing of water, and if you don't watch him, he could hurt himself. And that's what's crazy, because to an adult, if you hurt yourself in this much water, you just weren't paying attention. But I mean, it happens. It happens. I see some views out there. It's okay. We can talk later about a kiddie pool hurt you, but when I choose not to operate in the faith that God has called me to, I look like an adult in a kiddie pool, right? So when we think about faith and we think about Christianity nowadays, it's that we look like a whole bunch of, you know, a whole bunch of kids coming to swim in a kiddie pool. We sing our songs, we have our memory verses, and we put them on the, you know, we put them everywhere. We wear our Christian T-shirts, praise the Lord. But when somebody treats me wrong, when somebody cheats me, when somebody steals my money. Because you see, a kiddie pool isn't a big pool or even the ocean. And a kiddie pool cannot, if you think on the kiddie pool faith, if you will, cannot take me to where God has me next. It's never going to sustain the calling that God has on my life. And that's the difference between you and your next level with God. It's simply a trust thing, right? Because I'm going to get even sillier. I'm going to try to, there's a whole bunch of water in here. I'm going to try to stay afloat with this. So, as I fall. Because the other thing about the kiddie pool and why we choose to stay in it sometimes, it's this feels safe. I can't really drown in this unless I just stick my face in it. Faith is scary because God's going to call me to do things I don't like. He's going to tell me to love people that does my family wrong. In that situation now, God's going to call me to give up some meals out so that I can give to a missionary. And that's uncomfortable because your boy hungry, right? And the more I choose not to trust God and choose to have just a little sliver of faith, you know, just enough to toss up a ball and have some fun and woo, I'm getting wet. It's I'm missing out on being fully drenched in God's love and His plan and His purpose for me. And though it doesn't, I don't feel like I look silly. Y'all are just mean. But what to me doesn't look silly? How dumb does this look to you? So guess how dumb you look to the world when you choose not to operate in all that God has planned for you. This world doesn't need your t-shirt. Doesn't need your Facebook post. It doesn't need your, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't need your song blasted for everybody to see. It doesn't need your post to tell you how much you hate Bud Light. Who gives a rip about what Bud Light's doing, y'all? Who gives a rip about what the Grammys did and their devil worship? Who gives a rip? Maybe this world is a little darker because we haven't walked out our calling that God has left us to live. Hello. Maybe this world is darker because Christians choose not to have faith. Because faith isn't this in between. It's either you choose to trust or you do not. Just like forgiveness. Either you're going to forgive or you are not. There's no middle ground. There is absolutely no middle ground. So much so that God says, when you don't forgive, guess who I'm not forgiving? You. And don't you dare try to bring a sacrifice to me before you go make it right with somebody else, because I will not accept it. That scares me. And again, it's easy for me to say, oh, thanks, Pastor Trevor, but you don't, again, I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know the pain and whatever in the world that you're going through. And this isn't a cop-out, you know, telling, this is another preacher, thanks, telling me to be perfect again. Thank you. I already know that my life's not perfect. This isn't God telling you to be perfect. This is every single day. Just like me or anybody at the gym. Who cares that I don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Who cares? I'm stronger than I was yesterday. That's all that matters. Okay, I go into the gym. There's somebody 100 yards ahead of me. Who cares? That's great. I don't want to do the work they took to get there. You know, because, you know, I like soda and chips. Your boy's trying to work stuff out. But, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it time that Christians walked out what we said that we did? Isn't it time that this loving God that we believe that can do anything, that we actually live like that? Wouldn't that be crazy that this world saw somebody that didn't know you were a Christian because of how you hated everybody, but so you were a Christian because your love radically transformed the people around you? So, okay, hear me out. Devil worship is wrong. Transgenderism is wrong. All that stuff is wrong. But maybe your love radically transformed their brain to think, maybe there is a God out there that loves me, and maybe, just maybe, I need to get out of this lifestyle I'm living in, right? Because if you want to start changing some people's like that lives, there's somebody around you like that, start loving on them, taking them coffee. Don't even mention the Bible to them until they mention it to you, until you have a relationship with them enough. I'm so sick and tired of seeing Christians online spewing hate. Like, yes, stuff is wrong. It's not a wrong or right thing. But it's not my job to convict people. I can let my life and how I choose to live to do that. But anyway, free for you. So, something as simple as faith can change everything. Romans 10:17 says this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So, when, you know, a month, 2-3 months from now, when you're going on your way and you've forgotten most of what I said to you. Okay, I mean, there's so much stuff that you hear and see and do now. Just remember that God brought a boy, dude, man, whatever, from Dothan, Alabama, to have this conversation with you today. Scary. Scary. But scary good. That God knew before I was even born that I was going to be in Anniston, Alabama, having this conversation with you, when I didn't even know Anniston existed until I moved up here. faith means that, ladies and gentlemen, just like a boat needs an anchor, faith means that I let God be my anchor and I allow Him to calm my storm. Because the ministry that they were getting ready to do on the other side, when people were like, you don't even have to say anything. We just need to touch you to be healed, was waiting for them. Waiting on the other side of Jesus's. Jesus had that so intentional, set that whole thing up. He knew he was so exhausted that he said, "You go ahead of me. I'm going to take some time to pray and just relax before I go do the ministry that God has called me to do." So if Jesus needs a rest, physically, emotionally, all of that, so do I. And I do that with God being my anchor. During a big storm, big ships, a lot of times they don't stay docked. They go out into the middle of the water and drop anchor. So ladies and gentlemen, in the middle of our storm, in the middle of the things that we're experiencing that nobody understands or sees because it's in here, it's time we drop anchor and release all the hurt and pain that we have in our hearts to Him. Because I can't get where I'm going docked or in my kiddie pool. I can't. It's going to take a level of trust. It's going to hurt. It's going to be weird. And your next step in faith looks a whole lot different for you than it does for me. But we're going to do this together. We're going to do it together. And the scripture and faith calls us to action. Let our great physician do surgery on your hearts this morning. Surgery, though painful, and a long process to get done, and then go through rehab or whatever, and you're still going to have the pain at your incision site. My wife, you know, when they had to have a C-section, she still has pain sometimes at the incision site. So what I mean by that is, when allow God to do the work necessary that He needs to do on your heart this morning. It's painful, but just like the vines, He's getting rid of what you don't need so that we can be fruitful. And again, not just for us, right, but for the people around us. So I always love to think about this analogy, right, when it comes to trees and fruit and all that kind of stuff. If you think about it, is the fruit for the tree? Does the tree eat the fruit? No, we do. So when God tells us to be fruitful and multiply, or talking about kids there, and I did that, but when it comes to being fruitful, the fruit that we produce because we spend time in God's presence isn't for us, but it should benefit the people around us. That's why God calls us to be fruitful. Because it's not necessarily another benefit that I get. But the more time I spend in His presence, the more time I allow God to fix whatever inside of me needs to be fixed, the more that other people around me aren't hurt, but are benefited by the relationship they have with me. Sometimes I'm poking, I don't even know. So allow God to do whatever He needs to do with you this morning. Whatever have faith looks like for you. Whatever it looks like for you. Know that God, again, sent some guy from Dothan, Alabama to have this conversation with you today. No matter what maybe you're in a storm, you've been going through a storm for a long time like the disciples have, and you just, I can't see God because I just don't expect Him. God's getting ready to walk on water for you. do something so radically different that you're not even going to recognize him at first. Like for this house, for my family, there's things that God has in store that I have no idea, but he's waiting to bless me with as long as I stay faithful. Not a perfect thing, not a him dig, you know, do better, you'll get this. But what Scripture says, we have no idea what God has in store for us, all the good things. And just like my son, he's not going to have to expect any bad things from his parents. Just love and whatever he wants. Why can't we expect that from our Heavenly Father that made us? Why have we gotten in our brains that what people have done to us and the bad things that we've experienced is God's answer to us? Something that radically changed me that I was sitting and having a conversation with my therapist. He looked at me in the eyes and said, "Trevor, I don't think you realize this, but when Jesus looks at you, he smiles. When he thinks about you, he smiles, because he's proud of you. And when he's trying to help you, it's not because he's disappointed. It's because he knows where he wants to take you. And you can't go where God has you next with that still in your heart." God knew I wasn't ready for my wife yet. And he knew I wasn't ready for Ezra yet until it happened. Why? Not because he's mean and nasty. I wasn't ready. As you bow your heads with me, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you with all of his heart. And if you would say that you are believing for a miracle, or that you have something in your life that you need God's help with, faith in, if you will just raise your hand. Might be saying to yourself, "Well, I'm not experiencing anything yet." It's coming. We're taking ground from the enemy. And if we're going to take ground from the enemy, we're going to get shot at. So you're going to experience stuff. Wow. Let me pray for you. God, I just want to thank you for each and every single person here today and whoever's going to watch online. God, I don't know the hurt or the pain or anything that people are experiencing, but God, you do. And you would say to us to have faith that you're going to take care of it in your timing, in your way. So God, I pray that we would have faith in you again, to trust that Dad is good, and to trust that God, that Dad, you're going to take care of it. If anybody's going to take care of it, you are. So God, I just pray for each and every single heart this morning, that God, you would fill it up to overflow. And that God, with you, that we would know all things are possible if we choose to walk out the purpose that you have called us to work out. It's not my will be done, God, it's yours. And even if I don't understand it, yes and amen. Yes and amen. God, thank you for everything that you're going to do.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you be blessed.